Okay, there were some fun responses there. It was a lot of fun interviewing you the other night, so sorry if you didn't make it on the video. But hopes and aspirations, we all have them. We heard some trivial ones on there, we heard some serious ones, and I think we heard one of the best hopes, the best hope that you can have. We heard about the hope of heaven. We heard that from a whole bunch of different people. And we're going to talk about the hope of heaven tonight, but before that we do that, I challenged you last night to remember a Bible verse without looking down at your booklet. Can you do it?
Yes.
Okay, who wants to count us in?
Me. After four. Hang on, it's my count. One, two, three, four.
I tell you the truth. Whoever believes my word.
No, 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 no. Stop, stop, stop. I heard some believes before hears. It's
okay.
Hears and believe. Go.
One, two, three, four.
I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
Fantastic. He has crossed over from
death
to
life.
Two keys to crossing over from
death
to
life.
Number one.
Hearing.
Number two.
Believing.
Hearing what? It's hearing the word of Jesus. Believing what? It's God. Believing God. How are you brought from
death
to life?
Life.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about hearing him speak. And it's all about believing in him. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to give you a glimpse of the life that you can have forever. The life that is with Jesus, that will go on and on and on. The life that will be paradise. The life that will be perfect. The life where there'll be an end to tears. There'll be an end to crying. There'll be an end to mourning. There'll be an end to pain. All suffering will be gone for those who are in Jesus. Those who have been brought from
death
to
life
will be part of this new life, will be part of this forever. Now, in the Bible passage that was read out for us, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he is writing to a church in Thessalonica, a place near Greece-ish. And Paul is basically answering the following question. The following question is, what will happen to the dead in Christ? Is the question that it seems to be that he's answering. What will happen to the dead in Christ? So the question is, what will happen to Christians who die? That's what the question is that this passage is answering. You got that? What will happen to Christians who die? Okay, and he answers it in two ways. He answers it, first of all, in a negative way. And then secondly, he answers it in a positive way. So firstly, the negative way. The way he answers it in a negative way, he says that if you do not have Jesus, that is, if you've got no Jesus, you've got no hope. No Jesus equals no hope, spelt with an N, O. No Jesus equals no hope. Now, in verse 13 there, he kicks off by saying that he doesn't want them to respond to the deaths of Christians in the same way as the rest of the world respond to death, who aren't Christian. Have a look at verse 13. I'll read it again for you. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Okay, he's saying we don't want you to be ignorant. That is, he doesn't want them to be unaware. He doesn't want them to be naive. He doesn't want them to not know what is going to happen. About who? About those who have fallen asleep. Basically, when it says fallen asleep, it's just another way of saying that they've died. It's a Christian who has died. They've fallen asleep. So what does he want them? He doesn't want them to be unaware of what will actually happen when Christians die. He doesn't want them to grieve. He doesn't want them to grieve like other people do. He doesn't want them to grieve like people who do not have a hope. He doesn't want them to grieve like people of this world. Because the truth is, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have hope. No Jesus equals no hope. For those who don't know Jesus, they've got no hope for the future. They cannot be certain about what's going to happen tomorrow, in 20 years, in 50 years, in 1,000 years. The person who does not know Jesus does not have any hope. They don't know how to grieve when people die. They don't know how to deal with the death of a loved one. That's the way of the world. And you see the way that different people deal with death when you go to a funeral, when you watch interviews on television after some tragedy. People of this world, people who do not know Jesus, do not know how to grieve because they do not have any hope. On Friday the 3rd of October in 1997, two of my school friends and one of their sisters were on their way home from Newcastle, back onto the Central Coast. Partway through the trip, they stopped the car on the side of the freeway so that the tired driver could swap seats with her sister. While they were stopped, though, a man in a car behind them had a heart attack, and he veered off the road and crashed into the back of my friend's vehicle. My friend Joanne, she was crushed in the back seat. She was crushed in the accident. She was rushed off to hospital with severe head injuries. 2 days later, on Sunday the 5th of October 1997, the life support machines were turned off and my friend Joanne died. Now, I can't begin to explain to you what the following weeks were like amongst our year group. We're in year 11. We didn't know how to deal with death. The following weeks were a difficult time for our year group, as Joanne's friends and even people who weren't that friendly with her had to try to come to grips and try to deal with the death of our classmate. People couldn't make sense of what happened. People didn't know how to grieve. People didn't know what hope she actually had. Now, about one month before that, my grandmother had died. My grandmother was a Christian, and she'd spent the last 5-10 years of her life suffering in many ways from illness. And I can remember her funeral, and it was a great occasion because she was a strong Christian lady, and I knew that she was now with the Lord. Now, as far as I know, my friend Joanne, she'd rejected Jesus. I know that she'd heard of him, but she wasn't following him, as far as I could tell. Therefore, as painful as my grandmother's death, someone in my own family was, the death of my friend, who, as far as I know, didn't know Jesus, it was even more painful because she didn't have hope like my grandmother had hope. Something that was almost 10 years ago, a friend that wasn't my best friend. We caught the train to school together every day. There was a group of about 8 of us that caught the train. So I knew her well, but she wasn't like a friend that I'd ring up on weekends to say g'day. She was a friend, but not like my best friend. There wouldn't be a month, I reckon, since that day that goes by that I don't remember her, that I don't reflect upon her. And at those times, I wonder how my peers from school deal with death, not just her death, because I'm sure they know other people that have died. How my peers from school who do not have any hope, how they deal with the death of a loved one, with the death of someone in their family. And that's because if you've got no Jesus, you haven't got any hope. On Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2005, so a bit over 6 months ago, Rod, my next door neighbour, he died after battling cancer for the year previous. I spoke to Rod often. I spoke to him about Jesus even. I'd invited him to church. I'd given him a book. I even tried to challenge him to think about what might happen when he died. But in the end, he rejected Jesus. As far as I know, he didn't have Jesus in his life as the Bible calls people to have Jesus in their life. And therefore, he didn't have any hope. His funeral was tragic. His funeral was tragic. I wasn't looking forward to it, just like with Joanne's funeral, just like with a teacher from my school who died who wasn't a Christian. They were difficult times. Difficult times for me to deal with. Not that I don't have hope, but I know that they didn't have hope. It's a great tragedy. The greatest tragedy when people who don't know Jesus die. If you've got no Jesus, you've got no hope. If you don't know him, if you don't have him as your friend, as your saviour, as your king, you have no reason to be confident of anything in the future. You do not have a hope. Now, Paul, the guy who wrote this letter, he's writing to this church because he actually wants to tell them that they don't have to grieve like the people of the world, like the people around them who don't know Jesus. They don't need to grieve like the people who don't have any hope. Why? Well, here's the positive side. It's because they do have Jesus. And therefore, what do they have? They have hope. If you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, you know hope. The Christian is radically different from the non-Christian. The Christian knows Jesus. Not just knows his name, not just knows some things about him, but knows him intimately. Knows him as the one who has died upon the cross for him. The Christian knows Jesus and therefore they know hope. Have a look at verse 14. It says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The reason why the Christian has hope is because Jesus died and Jesus rose again. We believe that when Jesus died, if you're a Christian, we believe that Jesus died in our place. When he died the death that we deserve. And we believe that when Jesus rose again, it was actually evidence that we too will rise to new life. That we too have a hope of a new life in Christ forever in heaven. It's almost as if when Jesus dies, it's like we were strapped to him. Have you ever seen the bungee jump? No, not bungee jump. What are those triangle-looking things? Sky? Hang gliding. Yeah. It wasn't charades, but there you go. Hang gliders, have you seen the way they're strapped to the instructor? Okay, they're strapped there. What happens when the hang glider instructor moves it left? You go left with him. What happens when the hang gliding instructor does a salmon? You might die, or you do a salmon with him. They're sort of in control. They're sort of moving things in certain directions because you're strapped to them, and they're the ones who are in control. It's as if when Jesus dies that we're actually strapped to him, if you're a Christian. As Jesus dies on the cross, it's as if you're strapped to his back as he dies. And it's as if when he rises again, we too have been raised with him, and we too can look forward to being raised with him and being raised with a physical body. And that's because if you know Jesus, you know hope. The Christian can be confident that when they die, they'll be together with Jesus. If you've got friends or relatives who know Jesus, you can be confident that even if they die, they have hope. They have a living hope. They have a sure hope. They have a certain hope that they will be with God. They will have life forever with the King who died and rose again. Now, since Joanne's funeral in 1997, I've been to a whole bunch of funerals, and most of them have been Christians' funerals. And I'm actually going to tell you about a few of them now from people from my church. There's a few people here who would have met these people, Ro and Renee and Daniel and me, but most of you would, I'm pretty confident that you probably don't know any of these people. The first one I want to tell you about is Michelle Warner. She died in 2001. Her son at the time was about one of Daniel's youth group boys who's currently in year 12. He was in year 7 at the time, so he would have been 12 or 13. And when Ricky was born, 12, 13 years before that, his mother had serious complications. She almost died. She had serious heart problems for the rest of her life. And in 2001, she died and she went home to be with the Lord. Now, I can remember the funeral that day, how joyful it was. Her son Ricky, a boy in year 7, unbelievably understood the hope that his mum had, unbelievably understood the gospel for himself. And I can remember he read the Bible at that funeral on that day. And he was more composed than older people. And he understood that his mother had gone. And he understood that she'd gone to a better place and that she had hope. He knew that his mum was with Jesus. Tony Brownhill was a man who died in 2004. He was a wonderful man who couldn't help but speak about Jesus. You couldn't shut him up. He was the type of guy that would always be seeking to tell other people about Jesus. But he died suddenly of a heart attack. He was only 60. He looked pretty healthy. But again, as sorrowful as that funeral was, the joy that was there, knowing that this man had gone to be with the Lord, it was a joyful day as we reflected on the hope that Christians have, the hope that this man, Tony, had and still has. Bruce Warner died in 2004. Now, this guy was a legend. He was old, he couldn't see, and that didn't stop him. He couldn't help but encourage young children and teenagers and give them Bibles and give them Bible reading notes. And he was a wonderful man who'd been wonderfully changed by the gospel of Jesus. And his funeral was almost like a party. It was magnificent as people rejoiced over the hope that he had, over the hope that he has, knowing that he is with the Lord. And he was a man, in the years leading up to his death, couldn't wait. He was having a race with another guy who died about a year later. And the guy who was racing him got up at the funeral and said, "You win. You win." Let me tell you about someone a lot younger. This guy's name is Matt Vesper. He died at the end of 2004, just before Christmas. He used to come to our youth group and our Sunday schools and so forth, but his family moved to Tasmania, but he had his grandparents who still lived on the Central Coast. And on December the 18th, 2004, he tragically drowned while bodyboarding at Yamina Beach while he was visiting his grandmother. Matt would have done Year 12 last year, so a very, very young guy compared to some of these other people I'm telling you about. Yet, at his funeral, at the service to celebrate his life, it was amazing to see the hope that his mum had, knowing that her son was a Christian, knowing that her son believed in the Lord Jesus, knowing that her son trusted in his death and resurrection. It was a remarkable celebration of such a young life, but not a wasted life. The final person I want to tell you about is not someone from our church, but someone related to people from our church. It's Daniel's grandfather. In November last year, Renee and Daniel got married. Within a week before that, Daniel's grandfather died. Difficult time for the family as you're preparing to get married, yet you have a death in the family. Yet let me read to you the SMS that Daniel sent less than an hour after his grandfather died. "Praise be to God. Grandpop has gone to be with him. What a great hope we have. Keep praying for all of us. Praise be to God. Grandpop has gone to be with him. What a great hope we have. Keep praying for all of us." What a great hope we have. What a great hope we have. I could go on. I could tell you more, but I probably won't make it. Others who have died, who have hope. Others who have died knowing Jesus, and therefore knowing hope. I could tell you about how joyful their funerals were. I could tell you about how marvellous, in the midst of grief and great grief, is the hope that a Christian has when they die. But do you get the point? Can you see it? If you know Jesus, you know hope. You know true and living hope. Hope that will go on forever. Hope that doesn't disappoint. Hope that will see you, if you are in Christ, have life forever with him. Because Jesus died for us, and because he has conquered death, we can have that sure and living hope. If you know Jesus, you know hope. Now, there's probably lots of questions going through your mind at the moment. you might be actually reflecting on people who have died, and this might be a really difficult time for you. But the biggest question I want to ask you, and the most important and most loving question I can ask you now, is do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you know the hope that is found only in him? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Do you know that hope? Now, if you don't know Jesus, I've been challenging you all week, and your small group leaders have been challenging you all week, and as you've looked at the Bible, I hope you've been challenged all week. Can I encourage you to get to know him? It's of desperate importance, knowing that it's only in him that you can have real hope. And you won't need to grieve like other people grieve. Let me remind you again of the prayer to pray. Say sorry to God that you've stuffed up. Say thanks to God for Jesus. And say, please God, help me to now live for you. But as I close, if you do know Jesus, and that's lots of us here, if you've been brought from death to life, can I encourage you to face this life knowing the hope that you have for the next life? Face this life knowing the certainty that you have of eternal life with the creator of the universe. You can be confident in this life if your trust is in the Lord Jesus, if your trust is in his death, if your trust is in his resurrection. Even though one day you will die, you can be certain of that. You will be raised, and you will live forever with God. I'm going to pray. Now, gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week, and we thank you for the amazing privilege it's been to sit underneath your word, to listen to the very voice of God. We thank you for this, and we ask that we would hear your word this week. We ask that more than that, that we would believe it. We know that we are people who are dead and are powerless to make ourselves alive, but we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died for us when we were sinners. We thank you that he was the only way. And we thank you that he, through his death and resurrection, is the only way to have real hope. I pray for everyone here now who may be reflecting on people who have died, maybe reflecting on hard memories. Father, we pray that you would bring us comfort. And ultimately, we pray that you'd bring us comfort knowing that we have eternal life in Jesus. We do want to keep praying for those who don't yet know you. And we pray that this week, that tonight, might be the night when they put their trust in the Lord Jesus and his death and his resurrection. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, Daniel's actually about to sing a song. And Daniel's going to sing us a song about a friend of his that died about 2 years ago. And he'll tell you a little bit more about that.
Good then. Can I use that bread clip? I've got no pick. My friend Adam was a guy I went to school with. He was a good mate. We had lots of fun memories together. He was a Christian guy, and he was a bit crazy, and he did lots of weird, crazy stuff. And he died just before his 20th birthday in a motorbike accident doing something really stupid. It's kind of amazing that he lived to 20. He was one of those guys. And, yeah. And I wrote this song about the experience I had thinking about his death afterwards and the week afterwards and at his funeral and stuff. He was a Christian. And like Dave said, oh, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Thank you. Like Dave said, his funeral was like a party. Like, there were so many people there, and there were so many laughs, and thinking about all the, like, just it's so great to think that he's got somewhere to go and that it's a great place. And just there's so many memories with Adam. And I think there was a feeling amongst everyone like, oh, we're not going to get those memories anymore. Adam's missed out on all that great stuff that we're going to be keeping on doing. But he's not, because he's going somewhere that's even greater than this world. So that's kind of what the song's about. It's called Rocket. And, yeah, I hope you can enjoy it. Another morning, I wake up to the fun. The crack voice on the other end tells me you've gone home. And like a failing light bulb, you flashed before you died. Somehow 20 years becomes a lullaby. Take this flower from my hand. I watch you and I don't understand. You never could have known that he would deem to call you home. Like the rocket in the sky, a tale trails of memories. And then it comes, I realize, aren't you now more free than me? Story after story, your suited friends describe. And now the curtain's closing, and I can close my eyes. But seeing every face as they understand. Hope that seems to come when you're burying a Christian man. Take this flower from my hand. I watch you and I don't understand. You never could have known that he would deign to call you home. And like a rocket in the sky, a tale trails of memories. And then it comes, I realize.